Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, happy holidays to everyone. It's a real pleasure to welcome on the line a man sitting in that epicenter with his brand new book. So welcome, Tom Van Dyke. How are you this morning, Tom?
I'm fine, Sarah. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Let me give a brief intro. Tom is a member of the Western Writers of America, has been writing screenplays and documentaries since 1970. And one of his motion pictures was considered for a nomination, in fact, for an Academy Award, a drug prevention educational film featuring the stories of over 350 children reaching out for help. Tom also created, wrote, and produced the American Bicentennial Television Public Service Announcements, Stand Up and Be Counted, the most widely viewed national and international public service announcements in the history of television at the time. A native of Dearborn, Michigan, and a student of architecture, Tom's creative expression of writing and film production are also shared with his creation of fine art. His sculptures, paintings, and photography have been exhibited or are in the permanent collections of the New York Museum of Modern Art, the Carnegie Art Institute, the Buffalo Bill Historical Center, which is a personal favorite of mine, Tom, and the Detroit Institute of Arts, the Henry Ford Museum, the Cranbrook Institute of Arts, for those of us who came out of the Midwest, which I did, also in the car business, and the Butler Art Institute of American Art. That, back to my hometown in that regard. But the topic today really is Tom's new book, A Cowboy Christmas, An American Tale. It's his first book, a story inspired with his two sons at their adobe ranch house where Tom and his wife Mary live today in Cave Creek, Arizona. Well, congratulations on your book. You're on for the ride, right?
I am. Thank you very much. That sounded great when you read it like that and presented.
That's great. Well, I have in front of me, and for those of you who are streaming us right now, please go out to www.acowboychristmas.com. And of course, for those of you that are in the buying mood in particular, you can follow the little bunny trail to hit buy now, which of course Tom will be honored if that would be the case. But you know, on the back jacket, Tom, you started out with just four very quick quotes to catch you, and that was, Columbus discovered America in 1492, horses arrived in 1519, cattle arrived in 1521, then there were cowboys. So tell us about how it was you came. What was the inspiration behind writing this book?
Well, I've always been interested in the West, I think, and moving here and absorbing the culture and the history of the West has always been kind of a preoccupation of mine. And I wanted to write a story, a different kind of story, about cowboys, about what it was like 150 years ago. Maybe I could just read the preface of my book.
Please do. That's a great way to start.
And this was the concept that I wanted to maintain as I got into the story and got into writing it. And it reads, I have a long trail of praise for the American cowboy, leafing through tattered pages and handwritten journals and dust-covered books, and wandering museums admiring masterworks of Western artists. I look beyond the golden frames as windows into America's past and imagine what the restless spirit of the West was like 150 years ago for cowboys on the American frontier. Inspired, I felt challenged to create a magical story that crisscrosses the expansion of the Far West and collides with destiny. A story about cowboys who burn themselves like candles for experiences worth living and values that created strength and revealed character. A story as enduring as the romance of the West. Embracing the cowboy's flavorful soup of words and expressions, W.B. tells his story with cowboy wit and humor. His tale begins in 1873. Not yet 16, with hopes and dreams, he crosses the Mississippi and without fear leaves the far shore of civilization behind. With empty pockets, a spark for life, and a wild sense of freedom, he follows his heart, searching for adventure and fortune, and discovers the romance.
And, of course, that truly is, if anyone who has yet to visit us out here in the Southwest knows that that final statement is something that grabs your heart. That and the perpetual sunshine that we often enjoy, right?
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Well, Tom, before we go too much further with your book, and thanks for setting the stage, this long legacy of your life, though, of being in the creative space and artistic and writing and painting and sculpting, can you put your finger on when you realized you were creative?
I've always been creative, and I didn't realize that I can look back and see that, but mm-hmm. as a young boy, you know, 5 and 6, I was creative, and I liked art, I liked painting, I liked drawing, and as I developed, you know, I ran into mentors that embraced what I could do and gave me direction and gave me ideas. So I in elementary school and high school and college, I was always a painter, a two-dimensional artist or a sculptor, three-dimensional. So I was always into fine arts. And when I went to Cranbrook, I got into design and architecture mm-hmm. as well. And when I received my MFA, just as soon as I graduated, I went into motion picture production. And since we had initially talked, Zara, I started thinking, why did I evolve from the fine arts 2 and 3 dimensional to
moving, yeah,
to the motion picture?
Motion picture, yeah.
Yep, and I think because it is such a total art, motion picture film, it combines acting and dialogue and sets and costume and atmosphere and drama, all of the aspects, all of the senses, hearing and dance.
I was going to say, and include in that the music as well. So it's just not the mastering of the words, but the music. But one thing our listeners should appreciate, which I didn't mention in the introduction, of course, is that at one time there was a Look magazine article that featured Tom's family, and their family history had more years of experience in the U.S. automobile business than actually the Ford family did. So Tom, my question is, you probably were definitely cut from a different cloth than most every member of your family, weren't you?
Well, you know what they say, a family can only afford to have one artist.
You know what, well said. I've got a son who's going to be attending art school next year, and my other family members and our friends kind of raise their eyebrow, because I know Ted and I both, no less, are automotive engineers by background. But still, that was an opportunity for your family to support you, right, in a career that was so contrarian to most everybody's roots.
Well, yeah. I think it did scare my folks, especially my dad. But, you know, I've been successful as an artist. It's unusual that I spent my whole career as an artist. But, you know, I think, and just to step aside a little bit, you know, I think in terms of education, in terms of family, and in terms of school, I think we, our public school system would be best advised to embrace the arts more.
Absolutely.
When I was going to school, there was a director, Eleanor Heth, of the art department for the Dearborn Public Schools. It was thought that important. Mm-hmm. And I think the senses, developing that fabric of imagination and creativity with touch and feel and sight and dance and all of the aspects to create an understanding of that with young children so that they can be creative and then go into the intellectual side, go into the teaching of math and the ABCs so that these children will be creative and know how to use the tools that they're learning. I mean, even Einstein said, you know, it's more important to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, but
I think you're right that it comes back to this whole idea of the critical thinking skills, the relationship with other human beings, which, of course, if we circle back now over here to your new book, that your mastery of storytelling, how fun this must have been for you to see this kind of story well up based on all these other years you've been involved in documentary films and screenwriting. I do want you to tell us, though, that there really is a distinction, is there not, between the kind of writing you predominantly been doing for film and for commercials and public service announcements vis-a-vis the story version, isn't it?
Well, yes, there is a big difference in terms of writing for the screen and writing for a book or for a novel or whatever. But what was interesting, and let me just step back one click. When I would create a motion picture and I went independent, producing films, the loneliest place in the room is to sit there and have a cold audience look at a film. And I soon learned that it was really very, very important to write and develop scripts that were engaging and that were dramatic and entertaining at the same time. So I think that's where my love of writing started. And 30 years later, after all of the screenplays that I've written this book. And the big difference between writing a book and a screenplay is in a screenplay, it's present tense. And you collapse time. And you develop characters quickly with dialogue that's crisp and authentic. And you move your story along because as a viewer, you can absorb so much faster, so much quicker, everything that's on the screen that's placed in front of you. Whereas you have the luxury of writing a book, and that's in past tense, and you can get inside the character's head. You can develop all of the intricacies of all the senses, and
but one would say, though, Tom, I would say, because I've enjoyed reading your book, for our listeners just joined us, this A Cowboy Christmas, An American Tale, that your book, though, is 114 pages. So the idea that still, nonetheless, your choice of words is going to bring the reader relatively quickly to a very visceral connection with this wonderful character, W.B.
Yes, well, my style of writing, and it's definitely written from a screenwriter's point of view, and I look at every sentence as a stroke, every paragraph as a scene, and within that scene, you can have a cutaway, you can have a wide shot, or you're going to have a close-up, but every paragraph, every indent is another scene for the reader, and I try to make every one of those scenes is exciting and vivid in terms of my description, in terms of my narrative. As an artist, I was an impressionist or even an abstract expressionist. I mean, back in the 50s when Jackson Pollock first emerged, I loved his work. I was just a little little boy at that time, but I liked it. I didn't understand it, but it was great. And then impressionist, and my paintings are fleeting and quick and composed and broadly drawn. So when I write as a writer, I think I'm an impressionist, and I tend to leave out all of the stuff that I think is uninteresting or not required to create that vivid sense. So the book, even though it's 110 pages, or you know, it moves along very quickly, and it has everything that a book of twice its length would have. And I think it's is invigorating and engrossing of interest for
really for people of all ages and awareness. So really, what our listeners should hear from you now, Tom, if I might jump to this, is that really your book is another piece of your artwork.
Well, it is, and I looked at it as a piece of art, and I looked at it even before I started. I said, I'm gonna create a book.
I'm gonna paint a book, in other words, or I'm gonna sculpt a book.
I'm gonna do that, and I didn't think about the publisher. I didn't think about the market of it. I just said, I'm going to create this book. And if I buy a canvas, if I buy plastic and steel for a sculpture, these are the elements that I have. So
now you've created your painting or your book, And now the journey really now is the marketing of the book. So it's like we often say here, it's one thing to be pregnant with the child and give birth and now raise the child. So you now have the child there that's running around and doing things. So how's the marketing process unfolding for you?
Well, you know, it's been an incredible experience. I've met so many wonderful people during the process. I've learned so much. Starting with Larry Siegel over at Barnes & Noble, who liked the book right from the very beginning and supported it and gave me some direction. The book is available at Barnes & Noble, and Larry's been great about it. And then doing authors signings mm-hmm. and readings and going around to the different stores and different museums and meeting people and doing a reading at Ralph Lauren's and Carol Westerman meeting her. And
been some of your surprises as you now have been in front of the camera, I'll say, instead of behind the camera, this idea that you're now in front of that audience again?
I think the most surprising thing is that readers of all ages just love the story.
Yeah,
it's an allegory that reads and is interpreted and entertains readers of all ages. And I think that's the biggest surprise that I've had in terms of the book.
Tell our reader, without spilling the beans, shall we say, tell the readers a little bit about the storyline about WB.
Well, let me jump forward a little bit.
Sure.
Then, and let me say, recently we were invited to come to Hollywood to make a pitch to the Hollywood executives and agents and studios. And, you know, that was Ken Rotkop. He invited me to come. And
so now it's to turn it to a screenplay then. So you're in a kind of reverse engineering then.
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay.
And in response to your question, I say, you know, you have to pitch your story. So I have to pitch the story. They give you 2 minutes. And so I reduced it down to 131 words. And I'll just give you my pitch.
Sure.
A Cowboy Christmas, an American tale, begins at a Christmas Eve campfire in 1908 with an old cowboy fantasizing about America when the West was young. Looking at an advertisement for Henry Ford's horseless carriage he has torn from a magazine, WB realizes, like the smoke of the fire, he has drifted into another age. Treasuring times past, he's not yet 16, crossing the Mississippi, leaving the muddy banks of civilization behind. Following his heart in search of adventure and fortune, he finds the romance. He meets and loses the love of his life in a tale of action-packed adventure, filled with encounters of unraveled characters. Alone and wondering, WB meets a mysterious stranger who introduces him to the most dangerous, thrilling life of all, and he discovers his gift.
Don't you love it? The mere fact that you tap back in your own circles, your own life, mentioning the Henry Ford automobile, of course, your own roots back to Detroit, as well as that experience for you and your family to quest out and become part of the Southwest. I think there's a lot of Tom between the lines here.
The more I think of it, the more I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. And I put in, the story elements, the plot points. I've seen a lot of movies. Everybody out there has seen a lot of movies. I think what I've put into this book are original and authentic points. I don't think they're in too many other films. The movie is mysterious. The movie is an allegory, and it's a unique read. I mean, it's very different, and I think, last year Ted Turner sent me a note that he read the book, and consequently I was invited up to his ranch up in Montana mm-hmm. to see the West from horseback, and I can say if that's what the West was, it was bigger and more beautiful than any dream. And when I came home, I got a call from Michael Blake, and Michael Blake and I have since become pretty good friends, and he says, Tom, I really, really like your book. and I'd like to write a praise line for it. And
for our listeners who may not know, Michael, of course, is a resident of Tucson, and he's the heralded author of Dances with Wolves. Also was initially a novel and then turned into a screenplay that took Michael's life in whole new directions, too.
Oh, it did. It did. And talk about writers. I mean, it just flows the words, the images from his mind to pen. And I think he writes everything longhand as well as I do. And it's just he's just terrific, just great, you know. And Elmore Leonard has read the book, read the galleys for the second edition and third printing, and he's offered a real nice praise line. And
so it doesn't stop now. You're just beginning. Before we go run out of time, Tom, I wanted you to come. Of course, the book is in a lovely, rich red cover, but it's also got embossed on it a gorgeous gold etching that's reliefed up. How is it you came connected with Bob? Is it Coronado?
Coronado.
And his artwork to be featured here on the cover of your book.
Well, Bob is a terrific artist and does very nice etchings. And I wrote a lot of this story at the Adobe Ranch House here in Cave Creek. And I'd run into Bob at, I think, the High Noon show in Phoenix and bought that particular print. It's called a high roller,
mm-hmm.
And it was sitting on the wall there, and I looked up and I said, boy, that would be just a wonderful little print to put on the book. So I called Bob up and asked him if he'd mind if I used it for the book cover, and he said, no, not at all, absolutely.
So, and to give a visceral image, this is of a cowboy holding on for dear life as that buck is bronking like crazy.
And he's just about to roll over. That's why they call him a high roller, and just... he's on its way right now. He's just flipping over, and WB just is flying up, and WB is in the air, as described in the story. He's in the air, and he watches that big horse fall and bounce and flail around in the dirt, and WB lands next to him, and as the horse is getting up, he steps on and rides him up. So it's kind of an exciting circle, and kind of a climatic moment in terms of the book.
Well, that's great. So, Tom, right now you're, of course, on the road there throughout Arizona and other venues doing signings and authorings. I'd like to point our listeners to acowboychristmas.com, where you can see a listing of where Tom has got the book currently posted, as well as his upcoming speaking engagements. There's a wonderful montage of photographs. And I got to tell you, Tom, you've got quite a grin on your face. You're having the time of your life right there promoting WB's story.
I really am. I really am. I like it. I like the story. I like meeting new people. And it's my best work.
That's really nice. Do you think it's going to circle back your writing now and impact your fine artwork, your painting, or your sculpting?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to paint some Western images and more Western landscapes. I think it's all connected. I don't see any separation. I mean, it's obviously the work is different, a painting and a book, but I don't know.
You don't know, but to go from your painting, your sculpting, your book, most likely the debut we're going to watch for the screenplay to literally then turn into a film. Well, Tom Van Dyke, thank you so very much for joining us. The book to our listeners is A Cowboy Christmas, An American Tale. You can go out on acowboychristmas.com to follow Tom's progress as well as get a copy of the book. We wish you the happiest of holidays, Tom, and ride tall with a loose rein, as we say, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Take care of you. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you very much, and I wish you a wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.